So we're coming to the end of our Sabbath series, and it's our real hope and our desire that for someone it has piqued their interest in stepping into this age-old practice. I know that when we first heard about Sabbath, it was a bit of a kind of moment. The thought of stopping, the thought of taking some time out. I'm running for Jesus. I haven't got time to stop. I'm living life to the full. Look at all my responsibilities, three small children. How on earth can I take some time out to stop? Life is too busy. And I can't remember when we first started getting interested back into it again, but I know after that first lockdown, you know, where we did stop and we did rest and we all went, oh, this is quite nice. Quite like this. Spending time with family, spending time with friends, but no, that was online that we did that. But spending time with God and just slowing down in general. And we both kind of went, hey, we're not going to get busy again. We really like this way of living. And then all of a sudden, once the doors opened, literally, we were back into it. But then what's really interesting is that Sabbath became something that everywhere you look, it's like when you buy a new car and you think you've never seen one like yours before, and everywhere you look, you see it. It's the same with Sabbath. Everywhere that we started sort of looking at, people were talking about Sabbath. People that we didn't even think would be talking about Sabbath. Friends even said, oh, we're trying Sabbath. It's like, what? Really? How's it working for you? And things like that. And then it's kind of like, okay. And for us, we don't dive into things. Me trying to get into the water, I'm like, no. Oh, no, it's too cold. It's too cold. Till I kind of get pushed into it. Thank you, Guy. But being really transparent, Guy and I, when we first kind of stepped into doing Sabbath, we could only manage half a day. We would start at 12 o'clock, midday, and then it would finish by the end of the day. And even then, it was a struggle. It was a struggle for us to prioritize to have this time. We're only sort of talking about 6, 8, 9 hours in a week. It was really hard for us to stop. Kind of it's like putting on the brake and you're kind of doing this great lurch. It was really hard for us to be still, to quieten our minds, to quiet our hearts in that time frame. And it was really, really challenging. However, and I have to be honest that we failed more often than we succeeded, to be honest, because there's nothing like a phone call, I really need your help, can you come and do this? Or pressures kind of build so that life leaks out into those times. Nothing like the challenges and the trials of life circling around you and within you to cause you to lean into something that God has long been inviting us into. And that's kind of what happened. And I guess from the short experience that we have had of taking a Sabbath, we know that it is well worth it. And we're only just scratching the surface. Now, for anyone who is interested in finding out more about the practice of Sabbath, there is a very simple but very full 4-week practice guide that we would really love to share with you that you can do in your own time. It doesn't take a lot of time. And if you are interested, then just let us know. Come and see us after church or message us, email us, and we can send you out the information. We really encourage you. It is good. Let's pray. Almighty God, we've sung, we've talked, and we've shared already about the joy of being still and knowing that you are God. And the coming together as we have this morning is a step of stopping and of stilling ourselves and resting ourselves in you. As we sing those words, as we sing them over ourselves and over one another and to you, and as we open up our hearts and our minds to receive from you this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will continue to move and minister within us in this time now, for the rest of today, and in the days to come, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, confession time. Oh, that got your attention. Now, Guy and I, we have a pretty good marriage. We really enjoy spending time together, which is good because at the moment we spend quite a lot of time together. We have the freedom to talk about anything. He's looking really worried. We have time to talk about the things that we like to share together, you know. We really love doing things together, but we also like to have our time apart because we're quite different and we quite like to do different things. We're really comfortable not talking. We can just be in each other's company and it's okay. We don't feel like we have to say something. And we've got pretty good over the years at learning to laugh with one another and laugh at one another. And with that, at ourselves, yeah. That's true. But there is one area that we have not done very well at, and that is date night. Now, even though we have facilitated 3 marriage courses and a pre-marriage course, each of those courses extolling the virtues of date nights or time together, even after 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of being together. And no, not us, other people. The virtue, no, hang, not that old. yeah. No, I was thinking of Ian and Faye, because we know that they've been married for 60 years, you know, thinking of them. A date night is still good even after all those years. And even though in making our goals for the year, we set a very low standard of just one date night a month, we're in March, and as of yet, we've not had a date night. That intentional time, that we've spent time together. However, this month we will do, because it's our wedding anniversary next week. And the good news is, Friday, Guy, no. And it's really good because, little promo here, we're going to the Shoestring Theatre on Friday night over at the Town Hall. It's a homeschooling community. Oh, look, there we go, Sarah. Sarah's got a flyer. If you'd like to support it, then please go and see her or Fiona or Catherine. They'll have some information. It's $10 a ticket. Cheap date. Well, that's nothing. No. So, oh, my pants are getting quite long. Okay. Now, we absolutely, as I said, we spent a lot of time together, and we spent some really good time together, but not the intentional time that we discussed, that we really desired and felt that even after 33 years of great marriage that we really, really still desire, that our relationship still needs, that we weren't talking about the children, that we weren't talking about work or about church. Because when we do have a date night, or whenever, whatever time of day that it might be, when we've really taken the time to be intentionally together without distractions, we're reminded why we like one another. In fact, why we love one another. And we feel truly seen and heard. And we're reminded of the fun that we can have, even though we're in our 50s and 60s. It's never too late. We know that those times, our relationship has really benefited. And it's deepened us. And it's kind of given us the space in our marriage to breathe and to dream and to rekindle or kindle our love for one another. It's absolutely been worth the effort. And even in those times when we don't want to be together, spending intentional time, really good quality time, is really important. I remember many years ago, I went up to Vic. This is maybe 10 years ago. And I said, Vic, could you and Sue please pray for our marriage? Because, you know, we're experiencing some challenges. And what Vic replied to me kind of really shocked me. He said, yep, well, that's not a problem, so and I can pray for you, but what you really need is a night away without the children. Sue and I would love to have your children for the night. Pick a date. Do you remember that? Yeah, pick a date. And reluctantly, we did. Because the last thing, to be honest, that I wanted to do was to spend time with Guy. What I wanted to do was for God to minister to him. But we did manage. We did manage. Yeah. No. But Vic was right, of course. It was exactly what we needed. We needed some time together. So why don't we make intentional time to be together, you may well ask, or you may not, but it is a good question. And the answer is, gee whiz, time, money, energy, priorities, distractions, interruptions, and the list goes on. And maybe you know what that's like, finding intentional and quality time for your spouse or for someone that you really long and desire to be with. Who you know, spending time with them brings life, brings joy, brings meaning to your life. Now for me, this is what it's like, what it can be like for me to take a Sabbath. You know, that intentionally taking time, taking quality time to be with God, to stop life, as it were, just for a period of time, and to rest, to breathe. To rest our soul, our bodies, our minds, just so that we can be with Him and to delight in Him and ultimately to worship Him. And this is good when life is full and busy, and it is even more necessary when life is challenging and full of pain and confusion and doubt. Because, as author Pastor Tim Keller says, because the world is full of ugly things, we need the Sabbath to feed our soul with beauty. Because the world is full of ugly things, we need the Sabbath to feed our soul with beauty. Ah, it's a sad thing to say that the world is full of ugliness. However, it is also full of goodness. In Genesis, we read that God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. The Hebrew word for good is tov, and it can be translated as beautiful. But all too often, the goodness and the beauty of life with God in this world is overshadowed by what Paul called the kingdom of darkness, the world in which we live. And everywhere we turn, we can see it. Newspapers, old-fashioned, televisions, on our phones. We only have to talk to people, Christians or non-Christians, people who know Jesus or they don't. And we see the effect and the fruit of that dark kingdom. We see it in our own lives. Ugliness is such a harsh word and a harsh way to describe it, but it's a good one in comparison to the beauty and the truth and the life that we can have with God. The reality is that, as Chris spoke so well last week, we know only full well ourselves that none of us are immune to trouble and the sorrows that trials bring. Jesus Himself even said that in this world we will have trouble. But before He said those sobering words, He says that I have told you these things, and He's referring to the wonderful chapters of John 14, 15, and 16, so that you may have peace. But He also said back in John 15, 11, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Some translations say, or your joy may be filled, or your joy may be overflowing. Have you ever experienced that overflowing joy? I think of Sue. Sue's an overflowing joy kind of person. You know, that feeling of joy and a happiness that you just can't contain, and it spills out in laughter or dance or a shout or whatever is right for you and your personality. Joy is Jesus' will for our lives as His disciples. The challenge is that while trouble and sorrow is inevitable, joy is not. Sorrow comes whether we like it or not. It doesn't ask us. It doesn't require our permission. But joy, we have to choose. And we have to keep choosing it over and over again. Now, joy is a feeling, it's a character quality, it's a way of being, and it's a discipline. Joy is first of all a feeling. You know, happiness and joy we know are not the same. Happiness is based on our circumstances, but joy is not. We can experience joy that comes from God that goes beyond our circumstances. Like that scripture that Chris brought last week, consider it pure joy, even though you're facing trials and challenges and temptations. But there's also a joy that we experience when life is as it should be. When that feeling when all is well, the only way I can kind of describe it is when all your ducks are in a row and they're not moving. And whatever, what might that be for you? You know, joy is when we've spoken to our children, because they're all scattered around, and that joy of hearing their voices, or I don't know, I hope you can get the idea of joy. Joy is also a character trait, a way of being. It's the kind of person that we become through following Jesus, by being his disciples, because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. When the Spirit is within us and is moving and forming and re-transforming our lives, it begins to rise up within it. We can't manufacture it. We can. We can try. But it's often quite empty and short-lived. It's a byproduct, as it were, of being with Jesus and becoming like him. And then just like wisdom and courage and strength are developed, so is joy, which is why joy is also a discipline. There are times when joy is easy and the most natural of emotional responses to the circumstances of our lives. Like when you've had good news. Yeah, when you've wedding days, joy, or like yesterday, the warmth of sun on your face brings joy. And then there are times when joy is an act of our will, an act of obedience to Jesus, and an act of resistance to the scheme of the enemy. It's a discipline of turning our hearts towards the good and the beautiful and the truth. Richard Foster, in his book, The Celebration of Discipline, speaks of the discipline of celebration. And he says what it looks like. It could look like setting our minds on the higher things of life. And it is an act of the will. Colossians 3:2 reminds us of this. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And Sabbath is a wonderful place to cultivate joy. Guy spoke a couple of weeks ago about the four steps for movements of Sabbath is to stop and to rest. And then there is delight and worship. Stopping and resting pretty much speaks to us about what we don't do, that we don't work, that we don't rush, that we, you know, we resist from doing work, whatever work looks like for us. And then the second two, delight and worship, are more about what we do. To delight is to create the space to find joy and wonder in all that is good and beautiful and true. And to delight in the life that we have in God's kingdom. We are generally predisposed to find and see the negative over the positive. Neuroscientists tell us this, like 1 to 14 is the kind of ratio. 14 times we'll find the negative to 1 positive. And within Sabbath, this time to stop and to rest, we had the opportunity to intentionally look for the good in life. When so much of our life can be about what we need, and what we perceive that we want, what we want and what we perceive that we need, Sabbath can remind us of the many blessings that God has given us. It's an opportunity then to stop and delight in them and to celebrate them and to give thanks for them. See, we can delight in God himself and how we have access to him through Jesus, who through his death and resurrection and the coming of the Spirit of God living and dwelling within us, in our lives, creates this new and dynamic relationship that we have. It's an opportunity as well, as we remember in Exodus that it's written to remember the goodness and the beauty of God. To be able to stop and look back and go, yeah, look what God has done. And look what he is doing. Because we can get so caught up, and I totally get this myself, get so caught up in what I'm looking at that I can't even see what God is doing now. And I need to be reminded that he was faithful then because he remains faithful now. For Guy and I, Sabbath may have started out at being half a day where we chose to stop the busyness of our lives and to rest our bodies, and I loved that bit. I did a whole lot of sleeping. But learning to delight in God and in the life that we have in him and worship him is now becoming the best part, especially as we face trials and challenges. And it's in those times when the winds of life are buffeting around us and within us, and we're longing for something of substance to really hold us and ground us, that there really has to be an intentionality in our Sabbath. I read the other day that someone actually writes down their anxieties and their sorrows and their unfinished tasks on bits of paper and puts them into a box of some sort. They pray a blessing over them, and trusting them into God's hands, and that this helps them to let them go, to kind of free up some space. And I've started doing this. I haven't got a box, just wrote them down, kind of laying down, letting them go. And I find it a really helpful thing to do. And it's a real act of trust, and it's an act of faith. Because then what it does is it frees up that mental and heart space for God to minister to me. And I love this picture that only came up on my feed yesterday from Pete's Scazzero. When we keep thinking, it's kind of like we're stirring what's going on inside of us. But when we stay silent, everything settles. And Sabbath can be a day where we can deepen our communion with him. For me, and I imagine for many of us, we long for a deeper relationship with God. We long for something more with him and more of him. Sometimes it's really hard how to put it into words what it is that we're longing for. And the psalm and the old song, we're bringing out the old songs today that we used to sing, kind of sums it up for me. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. It is God himself, Father, Son and Spirit, at the center of the world, who exudes love, joy and peace and forgiveness and acceptance, redemption and hope. These are the things that we crave deep in our being. And whether we put the name God to our ache, or we misdiagnose our desire for God as a desire for someone or something else, delighting in him for me and for us means spending time with God. Sometimes it's just sitting there, our hearts open to him, enjoying that kind of just being moment. It may be in prayer or in his word. I love his word. It gives me real joy and delight to read it, and I discover God there. But it could also be outside. It can be going to the beach and just sitting and watching the world around us. It can be going for a walk and being in nature, breathing in the fresh air, and again, just seeing what God has done. It can be enjoying friendships, enjoying good food, sitting around a table and celebrating good food, good music, different tastes, but hey, good music and good books. Like the Carrie Job song, our prayer is, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. And as we become increasingly more aware of God and delight in Him and the goodness of life that we have in Him and all that His kingdom life offers to us, it opens up our hearts and our minds to the fullness of life that we have in Him. And then can only but then become gratitude and thanksgiving. Yes, the trials and the challenges are still there, yet we choose to remember that God is still sovereign, and we keep our eyes fixed and focused on Jesus, for He is the one who is the author and the refiner of our faith. And it's then that our hearts turn to worship. Now, when we think of worship, we may well think of sung worship like what we've experienced already this morning, which is beautiful and wonderful to do and to be in together. But worship is so much more in that than in the biblical sense. To worship at its most basic is to orient and reorient our lives around God, who is the creator and the center of our lives. It is to lay our lives before Him in love and to deepen our surrender to His love. One way that we can do and express this is through singing, but there are so many other ways to worship Him. By giving our time, where we choose not to spend it, probably just as much as where we do choose to spend it. Giving Him our affection and our attention. Giving our resources, whether it be time, energy, finances. Spending time in prayer. Surrendering our will and our ways to Him and His decision making. Worship is any time where our thoughts center, where our emotions and our actions are centered on Him. Constantly, for me anyway, is choosing to direct and redirect my heart and love towards Him and His goodness, beauty, and truth. Like we sang earlier this morning, worship is a choice as well as a natural outworking of delight. All of these and so many more are forms of worship, and I'm sure that you have your own leaning as to what worship looks like for you. Sabbath is a great time to stop and get off the treadmill of life and to rest and refill our tank. And it's so good to delight in Him and all that He has made and all that He has done and all that He is doing in the mix and the melee of our incredibly diverse lives. And then to contemplate and celebrate the good news, the great news that God has given His life to us in Jesus, and the Spirit of God is alive within us. And as we do this, our praise and our thanksgiving rises, and we begin to worship Him. Sabbath, we read, was a commandment for those early Israelites. Break it, and you're dead. Literally, it's what happened to them. Yet from Jesus, the one who comes to give us life and life to the full, Sabbath continues to be an invitation. When we're on the mountaintop and life is great, taking Sabbath is good. And when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, Sabbath is good. And when life is between both of those two places, taking Sabbath is good. As we finish this morning, I want to read a psalm. It is a favorite psalm of many, Psalm 23. And I'd encourage you, if you would like, to close your eyes and allow the words to wash over you, to speak to you, to minister to you. You may like to open your Bibles or your phone, or it will also be on the screen as well for you to look at. Psalm 23, a psalm, a song of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh Lord, I thank you for the freedom that we have here and now to be still and to know that you are God. We thank you for your presence with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your life within each one of us. And we thank you for your peace, which we receive now. We thank you for your joy, which rises up within us. Oh God, I pray that you'd help us to be still. You'd help us to stop and to know that you are God. Help us to become more aware of your presence. Help us to celebrate all that you are. All that you have done for us. And that's going back 2,000 plus years to the last few years, right up to today, for what you are doing. And in the stillness, even now, I pray that you would give revelation to those who desire to see what it is that you are doing in this moment, so that praise and thanksgiving could rise within each one of us. I pray that you would help us to learn to step aside from the chaos of the world to find you, to experience a greater depth of union with you. Because it is what our hearts long for. It is what we truly desire. Spirit of God, I thank you that you are moving amongst us and within us, ministering to our hearts and our minds, our bodies, our complete being. And I pray that you would continue to do so throughout this day and all days. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Amen. Okay. Noelle, can you just come up and just play through the song, not necessarily singing over it, while we finish up today? Mayit, would you just mind going and telling them that we've finished out there? Because I said we were going to finish with the song and we're not going to. I'd really encourage you, if you would like to stay in a place of stillness and quietness in the sanctuary here, then we would really encourage you to do so. And for that to take place, then we would ask that everyone would just kind of make their way into the lounge through the back door. If you would like to be prayed for any sickness, He is the God that heals us. We would love to pray with you and declare that over you and within your body. If there's anything else that you would like prayer for, then we would love to stand with you, believing in God's goodness for us all. Bless you all as you go from this place. Enjoy a time of fellowship and encouragement, and have a great week. God bless you.